The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Tuesday, the 1st of October, 2019. On the podcast today, I have Jonathan Tobin, Investment Director at Arix Biosciences, A-R-I-X ticker, and Jonathan explains the reason behind their investment in Stipe Therapeutics, and Jonathan also covers general progress at the company. Also on the podcast, Charles Bray, Executive Chairman of Equatorial Mining and Exploration, discusses their assets and investment strategy. And as always, I have two lists for you, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs. And by all means, if you do have the app, it's free to download in the App Store, and you see an RNS, you receive an RNS via notification, and you like the content of that RNS, hit that thumbs up button. And it could feature right here on the podcast. And of course, be on the front page at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Want to get live push notification alerts whenever a company you follow releases an RNS? Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Jonathan Tobin, Investment Director at Arix Bioscience. That's A-R-I-X ticker. Jonathan, thanks for joining me again.
Thank you very much.
Now, you've had a bit of interesting news out as regards new investment, and we'll dig into that in a bit. Before we do, as always, Jonathan, if someone is listening right now and has never heard of the company, Arix Bioscience, can you just summarise what you're all about, please?
Arix is a global life science venture capital firm that specialises in making investments into mostly private life science companies, inventing the next generation of medicines.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, let's look at today's news. Very interesting announcement. You've co-led a 20 million euro Series A investment round into Stipe Therapeutics. Can you take us through the detail on this, please, Jonathan?
Sure. So we have a pretty big interest in oncology. Mm-hmm. You know, we've invested so far now in six highly innovative oncology companies. And we felt that we wanted to add another company that was developing treatments that target the immune system to attack cancer. And actually, this deal came to us in an unusual way. So in January, we hired a very experienced biotech executive called Christian Schetter, who had a long history of success in multiple biotech companies in oncology, both in the US and Europe. And Christian found this small opportunity that had come out of the University of Aarhus, which is the second largest city in Denmark. And the company was formed pretty recently based on discoveries of a scientist there, where he'd found a molecule that basically sensitized the immune system, specifically in cancer cells. And it's really a new way of going about treating patients with an immunotherapy. And because of Christian's track record, we rapidly got interested in this deal, and together with Christian pulled together a syndicate of specialist life science investors from Denmark, Germany, and us. And this 20 million euro round should take this new product all the way through animal safety and efficacy testing to the start of human testing.
Excellent stuff. And where'd you go from there then? I mean, you raise more funds then? Is that the case?
Well, if things go well, I think, in a year or two, we could have a number of options. And, mm-hmm. and actually, you know, Christian's last company, which was called Rigontech, which was targeting a related area of science at a similar stage, actually was acquired before they got into the clinic for up to 450 million euros by a very large US pharma company, Merck. And we've seen recently, you know, a spate of quite early acquisitions for good amounts of money for innovative oncology biotherapeutics companies, because the pharma industry are very very interested to get access to these really novel mechanisms, which you know, are much more readily developed in small companies such as Stipe and other companies within Arix's portfolio. That being said, we always make sure that we reserve quite generously for future rounds, so that you know, we've invested several million into this 20 million round, but in the future, if it makes sense, we will raise more money for the company and we'll participate to get the thing into human testing.
Yeah, and it goes without saying, I suppose, if, like you said, if this is successful, the potential is quite large.
Yes. So we generally invest in things where we believe we can make 5 to 10 times return on our investment within a reasonable time frame. So we're long-term investors, but we like to see some value inflections within, say, 3 to 4 years. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean an exit, but data that would drive positive inflection, either an IPO or you know, clinical data, or some kind of transaction with a large company.
I see. And as far as the rest of the portfolio is going, how is progress there?
Yeah, progress is really strong, actually. We're actually updating the market on progress within our 6 oncology companies at an event on Thursday this week. We're having a capital markets day, which is focused on our oncology portfolio. And we now have, with Stipe included, we have 2 companies that are preclinical, that's Artios and Stipe, and 4 companies that are in the clinic. And really, the data is starting to come out, you know, very positively, with a number of different mechanisms. And then in our non-oncology companies, we've had, you know, great results from Amplix and Imara. We've got upcoming catalysts in various companies, including Atox Bio, Autolus Harpoon, Logic Bio, and many others. And there are actually 28 clinical trials ongoing across the portfolio, with about 19 readouts expected within the next year or so. So it's going to be a pretty exciting next 12 months. But, you know, this is biotech is a risky, notoriously risky business. So not everything will be positive, or not everything will go exactly the way, you know, we might like it to. But we're pretty confident in the, first of all, in the teams that we've backed, who are all serial entrepreneurs with, you know, decades of experience in the life science field. And we've also done, we always do a lot of homework, a lot of due diligence. And so we're quite confident that we have accounted for, you know, all of the potential risks. But, you know, when something's in the clinic, and it's a first in class, never been tried before, unprecedented treatment, you know, ultimately, it's quite hard to predict the results. But because we have so many shots on goal, yeah, we're very excited about the potential in the portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, Jonathan, if someone's listening right now, likes the sound of the progress you're making, but are not yet following the story, please give them 3 quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
Sure. So, firstly, we provide access to the most cutting edge of life science innovation that's going on in small private companies, which is where the really exciting business end of this industry is going on. Secondly, we have a specialist team of experts who have years of experience both in the science and the business side of biotechnology, and some very successful track records. And thirdly, we have a global reach. So we now have offices and people in New York, London, and Munich. And from there, we can access really, you know, all of the major geographies that this industry takes place in.
Marvellous stuff. Jonathan, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Charles Bray, Chairman of Equatorial Mining and Exploration. Tick there is EM.P on the next exchange. Charles, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Now, before we get into your background and what, you know, a bit more sort of detailed specifics about the company, just give us a brief summary as to what Equatorial Mining and Exploration is all about, please.
Right. Equatorial Mining and Exploration, or EME, as we call it, is an investment company. It's listed on the NEX exchange. And the mandate of the company is to trade in African mineral assets, or to invest in those African mineral assets. We have two assets at present. One is a Nigerian coal asset, which is dormant. And we have our new focus, which is a Rwandan-based coltan or tantalum mining company.
I see. And what's your background? How have you come to be where you are today then, Charles?
Yeah, I came here for 2 years, 25 years ago in the UK, as a trading and structured product specialist with Bank Paribas. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I had been with UBS O'Connor, and then ultimately I moved on to Credit Suisse, and then formed my own investment company called Aston Capital in 2002. My focus over my career has been in investing in small and mid-cap companies to accelerate their growth and to provide them with the capital to grow. So the EME role fits in, I feel, very naturally with my background.
I see. Marvelous stuff. Okay, well, let's talk about, you mentioned one of the assets is in Rwanda, and I think most people's images of Rwanda when that sort of horrific civil war went on back many years ago now, but that still sticks in people's mind, the images of that. What's it like actually, you know, being there now and investing there? What's the climate like there?
Yeah, the investment climate, I think, is excellent. I've had the good fortune of my previous roles to have traveled over large parts of sub-Saharan Africa, as well as Europe and Asia. But I've found Rwanda to be very impressive. From the genocide which occurred 25 years ago, the country's made tremendous strides, and they've really focused on making it a very easy place to do business. So the currency is convertible, and it's a small, relatively it's a small landlocked country that is very beautiful, and the focus on generating business and bringing in outside private sector investment has been, at least to me, very impressive. So I'm looking forward to us really rolling up our sleeves and getting stuck in Rwanda. The government itself has been very encouraging and cooperating and helpful in terms of our plans.
Yeah, yeah. And tell us a bit more about the asset there, if you could. What stage is it at?
Yeah. East Inco is a company that was actually founded about 2 years ago by two, I like to call them locals, but one's a Dutch individual and the other is from North America. These two have been in country for the past 10 to 15 years. And they've been able to develop the types of relationships that we feel going forward will allow us to grow the company. East Inco itself was originally founded to execute on a tin smelter. But the company shifted focus when it saw the opportunity and to cooperate with local mining companies to change their mining from artisanal mining to surface mining. So the basic premise is that the country has been focused on artisanal mining operations over the past 20 years, and the government's realized that this, while it does offer some income, is very unproductive and inefficient. And as well, there's a lot of concerns over the health and safety of the individuals working in the sector. So the opportunity for us is to link up with an existing producing and profitable mining company and to have them increase their productivity by us applying some capital and working hand in hand with them to shift from artisanal mining to surface mining.
Okay, cool. And just fill us in on the market for tantalum ore. What's all that about?
Yeah, tantalum is very exciting. It's not a rare earth metal, but it's as close as you can come to one. Mm-hmm. It is used in all electronic equipment. It acts primarily as a capacitor. Mm-hmm. As well, it's used in medical devices because it is a non-corrosive alloy, or element. And it's used as a element in alloys to anytime you have or need high temperature and non-corrosive characteristics. So your mobile phone has it, every mobile phone has it, and I'd say most, if not all, speaker systems have it. So there's a lot of demand, and as we see, it's being used a lot more going in batteries. Mm-hmm. And as we see its use increase, obviously the demand is increasing, and there's been more and more focus on it from a mining standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and so what are you sort of hoping to achieve this, Charles, generally in the next sort of 6 to 12 months?
Right. Our strategy is to link up with these local artisanal miners, find a site that is what we'd consider geologically valuable, that is producing, has been producing, and that is profitable, to then go and provide them with the necessary capital to increase production by a multiple, a significant multiple. And to repeat that. So we can go to one particular cooperative, team up with them, engage in a joint venture cooperation, and then move to the next cooperative and repeat. So effectively, it's a roll-up strategy, but we're very focused on making sure we're doing that with existing producing and profitable companies. Now, there is the opportunity for us, and we're engaged in preliminary discussions with one particular group to look at a very large greenfield site. So some exploration is on the books. However, our primary focus in the first instance is to get to profitability and cash flow positive as quickly as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Charles, well, every day on the podcast, I highlight the top 5 most followed companies on Vox Markets. So to get you on that list, if someone's listening right now, likes the sound of what you're doing, but are not yet following the story, give them 3 quick reasons why they should hit that follow button and add you to their watch list, please.
Wow. We have a background of risk management. So the first thing that we are looking to do, as I stated already, is we're looking to acquire producing companies. We intend to eliminate, in that respect, the exploration risk, which comes with a lot of mining companies. So that's one reason. Two, we intend to become profitable. And for an NEX-listed company, that is a statement. So we are acquiring producing companies that require very little in terms of capital to become profitable companies at our level, in terms of being rolled up in part of a larger mining company. And we believe very strongly we can replicate this. So 3 would be replication or growth. We feel strongly that the opportunity in Rwanda is good. Working with the local Rwandan mining board is something that has been very, very good, and our relationship with them is strong. And so we feel that increasing our footprint over the country is something that we can do over the longer term. So in summary, I'd say we're producing, we intend to be profitable, and we intend to grow.
Excellent stuff, Charles. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay, it's time for the top 5 most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at 5, Vodafone Group, VOD. At 4, Expedia, XPD. No move there. In fact, Vodafone's down. just 1% of 160. Expedia is flat, 23.75. Bidstack, what a rally! What a rally! What a recovery from yesterday's interims. Dropped down, what, 23% I think in the day, and then rallied up by like, what, I think 15% or something, one point. But up again today, 11.8% right now at 28.25 pence. At two, Metro Bank. I had a little dabble there. Got out. I did some more research. Wasn't convinced. They have to take out a bond of debt in the case of a financial crisis to cover their liabilities and all that stuff. But the debt they have to raise will be punishing to them. It'll hinder their growth. So it's the Bank of England, you know, regulatory sort of reasons for this debt. And they want to encourage challenger banks. But this regulation is a challenge to challenger banks. They can't afford it. So I'm not convinced. And I think actually Ode Asset Management probably right in shorting here, but they've had a good chunk. It may bounce, you know, strongly. But Ode seems to have had their pound of flesh. I think they've had a massive short on since last year. And so they must have done very well here. But I think he thinks it's going to zero. But I shouldn't think it's going to zero. It's well capitalized, you know. But anyway. Number one most followed company is Vast Resources, VAST. And they were up quite big today, big move today again. But they've come back on announcement of a placing. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, C4X Discovery, business update. At four, Egdon Resources, operations update. At three, Metal Tiger, M&D Resources update, results of meetings. At two, Savannah Petroleum, Seven Energy transaction update. And number one is from Infrastrata. It's a Harland Wolf agreement. But that's taken the share price down to 0.445, down 4.3%. That's the agreement is purchase of assets of the former Harland & Wolff Heavy Industry Limited and Harland & Wolff Group PLC from administrators in BDNI. Okay. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciate.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.